Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and the Spirit of America Party radio show. Tonight we're going to open with the Roy Orbison song. Due to the fact that there's a lot of broken hearts rolling around New York City and California, we have the Kaiser has a baby, and then we have Lucky Pierre at the Sofitel Hotel, who is now in a jail cell with no maid service. So we figured we'll play Love Hurts as our opening tune. Kaiser Schreiber, is that your baby? That's not mine baby. This is not mine baby. This baby don't even look like me. Where's the helmet with the spike on top? But the worst one, I gotta give Arnold a little bit of a manly appreciation. The kid is 10 years old and Arnold has been paying his dues, which is more than Bill Clinton ever did. And don't ever try and tell me that the farmer who fertilizes the White House didn't have had crop failure. For all of the shenanigans that guy pulled on, you know there were women that went to Planned Parenthood that he sent with his business card. Yeah, don't tell me. I won't buy it. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and the Spirit of America Party radio show. Memorial Day is coming up, so for all the troops that are overseas and their wives back home, their loved ones back home, husbands and wives, and kids, we dedicate this tune. It's a 50s tune. It's the Age of Innocence of music. Do-do-dum, whip, whip, whip. Do-do-dum, do-do-dum. Yeah. ever noticed that in order to get your attention today, the media always has to hit you with sensationalism? Everything is sensational. Arnold's baby. Ta-da! The perv from France who was staying in the $3,000 a night hotel attacking a maid. Ta-da! You know, these are the big headlines. And did Maria Shriver know? So I figured I'd give you a scandalous headline tonight. Yesterday, I was drinking with a nun, and we kissed. Ta-da! How's that? It was the 50th anniversary of a couple we know and love. And sister was a guest of the bride. And the bride and the groom. And a real nice couple. They've been married for 50 years. And they do community service. They're retired and they do community service. And they help the nuns at this convent that the nun lives in. And they're city, New York City folk. And the her convent used to have 35 nuns, and they used to teach a girls' high school, girls-only high school, which I'd like to see today. I really would. I think that I'm a big segregationist. I believe boys and girls should be separated until they reach the age of reason, which in today's modern times is 29 years old, as opposed to kids going steady at 16 in the 50s. But that was before the pill, and it was before drugs. There were no drugs. I know you can't believe that. Just like one of my relatives come running in, he said he just watched The Life of John Belushi, and he can't believe how screwed up he was, and everybody was doing coke, and Belushi died of a speedball overdose. And many of people were dying on Saturday Night Live. It got so bad they were thinking of changing the name to Saturday Night Dead. And they haven't changed much. Now they have Lady Kaka doing a show last night that the censor turned turned the dial off. The sad part about it is when you call and complain about two guys. I just saw two guys kissing on a movie. I want that off my cable. No, it's part of your package. Oh, yeah, what is this, the U.S. government? Yes, that's right. It is the U.S. government, comrade. Anyway, so we celebrated with these people yesterday. We were very fortunate. And as I looked around the room, I saw other couples whose weddings we had been to when they were young, when they were just getting married, and how Sergeant Death puts his lash on us all. Sergeant Death is from a song called The Bard of Armagh. Oh, list for a while to this poor Irish harper, and scorn not the strains of his poor withered hands, but remember that once these fingers moved sharper to echo the strains of his dear native land. And he talks about getting old, and that merry-hearted men make the best of young boys, meaning that if you're a kid and you have a good sense of humor, when you exit, you'll still have your good sense of humor. And if you're a hump, and nothing changes, you don't get any better. You'll be a hump till the day you die. So we were talking to sister, and hang in there. So we're talking to sister, and she tells us that the staff of 35 nuns that used to educate those girls has been reduced to 7. And the 4 are in their 60s, 2 are in their 70s, and 1 is in her 80s. And that they had to close the school, and they now lease it to the public school system, where the kids can learn about being communist and how a cucumber can be protected. Yeah, from getting STDs. How sad, right? And she was talking about the church that she used, that the church that she went to used to be packed, and now it's on a Monday. It's there's 12 people at mass. So we know that the Catholic Church is taking a big hit. And I flashed back to the day before when we were sitting with friends that we grew up with in our old neighborhood, and we all went to the same Catholic school, and one of the girls is upset with the Catholic Church. The pedophile priest scandal is the one that really hurt the church, and there were plenty of Pharisees waiting to stick the knife in that wound. That pedophile priest scandal was heralded by the Boston Globe, who did it with great satisfaction. They even took rubbings off of cemetery stones of priests and went back as far as they could to crucify Holy Mother Church. Yet the Boston Herald, which is really the voice of freedom, has been muzzled by the Obama administration, which is another form of putting your competitor out of business by making champagne contributions to the right politicians. And that's happening a lot. That's not only happening to the Boston Herald, that's also happening to many businesses throughout the land. And that's what it's all coming down to. The federal shakedown. And that's why I say a $1 donation, be you Joe the Plumber or GE, and get all of those money changers out of the temple. And get them out now. You cannot. When you got to pay $1 billion to elect a president, there is no more justice in the United States. It is no longer we the people. And the statue of slavery in New York Harbor is soon to be erected. Back to sister. So she was dressed in civilian clothes, and I said, oh, sister, you don't wear the habit anymore. And she says, haven't worn it in so many years. And I said, do you miss it? And she says, no. She says, we get a lot of donations to our order, and I have to take the money to the bank. And I feel safer dressed as a civilian rather than a nun. And I flash back to my high school days when I picked up a paper and a drunk in Harlem had torn the head covering off a nun. And the cops had to rescue him because the people in the street were about to lynch him. But now we're all politically correct and we'd be looking for why he did that. And we'd be blaming a demon rum. Yeah, and he'd go into rehab, and the charge would go to your Social Security. Yeah, unbelievable. So, and I asked sister, I said, how are the donations? And she goes, they're dwindling. And I said, yeah, you know, it's funny, sister. I'm looking at the collection basket that goes around in my parish faster than a Frisbee. And I see the same crumpled dollars in it that I saw 50 years ago. And she said, yeah, I know. What I was surprised by was that a lot of her big donations come from non-Catholics. How's that? I wonder why that is. But anyway, I guess we could all speculate on that one. Then I teased her. I said, sister, have you ever worked a miracle? And she says, yes. When Reverend Mother looks into my drinking cup, I change the wine into water. Yeah, I thought that was good. And then at the table, they were all talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the groom of 50 years. Try to defend Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he wanted to start a fund to defend a defense fund for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he passed the hat around, and when the hat came back, there was one piece of bread in it and a penny. How sad. But everybody had a good time, and the bride and the groom, they had a good time, and of course they were with the people they love. Wasn't fancy, wasn't you know, it wasn't one of these half a wedding reception or a gala banquet, but it was a lot of love there. And one girl is married to a Latino guy, and there was an old Irishman at my table, and the Latino guy came over, and the Irishman looked at him and said, what are you, the manager? You looking for a tip? And he goes, no, I'm with Susan. He goes, oh, sorry. And I said to him, hey, Felix, you should have taken the tip. Anyway, that's life. That's what life is all about. The melting pot is getting a little sticky. I did a blog on it last night, and I did it, you know, I collected my thoughts better than I'm shooting them off the hip here. And I said, you know, it must be sad when you're at the end of the trail, and you look back on your life, and you don't feel that you've reached nirvana. But that doesn't mean you didn't reach it. You just don't know it. And so in my blog, I said, sister, someone out there has the benefit of your teachings and your love, and they're going to pass it on to somebody else. And what goes around does come around. And one day we'll all come around to our senses. When we went back, when I flashed back to the Saturday event, this was a Sunday event, and the Saturday event, one of our friends was giving the raspberries to the Catholic Church. She was very disappointed in it. She mentioned a priest that we all knew who used to always keep his eye on the kids in the street and would chase them home if they were out late. And she called him a hypocrite because he only served God for maybe 20, 25 years. And then he ran off with a nun. And they got married and they had five kids. And I said, well, at least he didn't kick the habit. And besides, he married themselves. But one of the guests that was sitting there is a very young, fairly young Wall Street executive, and very successful. But he has a battle with cocaine and other related experimental drugs. And it's a win-lose situation. And he was waiting for my reaction based on the attack on the Catholic Church. And he was waiting to hear what I had to say. And I turned to him and I said, well, Jesus says a good man falls seven times a day. He liked that. And you could see why, right? And it's sad. It's really sad to see how drugs have destroyed this country. We have lost our country because of drugs. And nobody will deal with it because there's too much money in it and the government can't wait to tax it. And if you look at our government, they are taxing all the vices, but they're not preventing you. Under the laws of separation of church and state, are they keeping the church from saving your soul so they can tax your vices? And it's a real joke. In New York, it's ridiculous that they took over the gambling from the mob. They drove the mob out of business, and they took over, the state took over the gambling. And now OTB, which is the horse racing gambling, which was taken over by the state, stands for out of business. Can you imagine that? The mob ran it for 100 years, made a fortune, and here to stay in New York and put it out of business. They had to close their OTB units. And that is guys milling around. They don't know what to do, where to go. They're going into coffee shops playing cards. It is really sad. It is absolutely terrible. We were talking about drugs as a cause of divorce, and most people said it wasn't a cause for divorce. So I checked some stats, and drugs was number four. The first one was money. The second one was fidelity. And I think the third one was gambling. And the fourth one was drugs. So I know this much. You talk to any cop on the street and ask him if there were no drugs, what would he be doing? He'd tell you he'd be a Maytag repairman. And I see Mayor Bloomingdale is closing 8 firehouses, and there's a rumor he's going to close 20. He's going to save $57 million. I guarantee you, you let me walk through City Hall and ask each person what they do for a living that's laying around sipping coffee, I'll find you $57 million on one floor. But they're gonna take the firemen down. They don't like the fire department. They couldn't break them like they broke the cops. Yeah. The liberals. You know, I can remember as a kid how much the liberals hated the cops. There used to be a saying, does your father work? And the answer was no, he's a cop. That's how much they hated the cops back then. Can you imagine how much they hate them today? That was when America was still run by Americans. So this couple had a nice anniversary party, and everybody enjoyed themselves. And you know what they did? One brother, these two guys are twins, but you could never know. They're not identical twins, but they were twins. And when they were born, their mother put them in a dresser drawer because they couldn't afford a crib. How's that? And just to give you a flashback of all you gun lovers, one brother, these people are from downtown New York. He used to go duck hunting with a .22. And I said, how did you do that? He says, well, first I bought a rifle, which you could do and like nothing. I went down the block, and there was a gun store, and I walked into the gun store. I bought the rifle. I bought 100 rounds of .22. I don't know if he said longs or shorts. He put them in his, he had like a tanker's pair of pants. He put them in his tanker pocket, and he took the bolt out of the rifle, put the bolt in his pocket, and that was the only legality he had to observe at that time in New York City. Got on the subway with the rifle. Took the 7th Avenue subway as far as he could to get to LaGuardia Airport. And when they got to LaGuardia Airport, there was a water stretch, you know, a reed stretch, you know, the type of environment that ducks sit in. And they would shoot the ducks in the water. And he remembers coming home, riding the 7th Avenue subway with his rifle on his shoulder, and he had a pouch with the two dead ducks in it, and they were bleeding. Now, could you imagine seeing that scene on the 7th Avenue subway today? Forget about it. Forget about it. They'd have 10 SWAT teams around. They have SWAT teams for fat kids that go to Burger King. Yeah, and there's no longer salt allowed on the tables in the restaurants. And if you get caught smoking, they'll take you away. Unbelievable, man. And you don't know how many freedoms you've lost. I don't know how many freedoms we've lost. None of us do. The Statue of Slavery is about to be erected in New York Harbor. So when did we lose our freedoms? I would say the loss of freedom began in 1958, and it was gone by 1962. And if you Google the 45 goals of the Communist Party, which was read into the congressional records in 1963, I believe, that was the beginning of the end. And drugs was a main contributor. And morality followed suit. Once you break one barrier down, the next door is easy. And that's where we are today. And when they give the stats about a 50% divorce rate, that doesn't count all the people that never got married, who hook and unhook. And it's very sad. And one of the divorce stats that I've seen is that the children of divorced families have more mental problems than kids of families who have a mother and a father. Hang in there. By the way, that church that only had 12 people in it used to have 5 priests, and now they're down to 1. And of course, the left, the communists who hate the church, will say, yeah, that's what the problem is with the Catholic Church. They should let the priests marry. And my answer to that is, no, sorry, we don't want the second collection going to alimony payments. Yeah. And I was talking before, and I lost it. It got erased. But I was wondering, when was the church, the Catholic Church, at its peak of innocence and morality? We know it wasn't when the Borgias were around in the 14th century, 15th century. But there had to be a time when the Catholic Church in its infancy was appealing to people who had a New York lifestyle. Pigs in a blanket, you know, ancient decadent Rome, and why they got fed up with that lifestyle and turned to the teachings of Christianity and lived Christ-like lives and promoted pure love. And what caused that to happen? And when I see all these Muslims who actually converted Christians to Islam, because when they got started, it was either join us or die. I got to tell you, I wish that they would go back. I wish they would turn back to Christianity, because the Islamic religion does not love thy neighbor, and we could sure use Jesus throughout the Middle East. And that's one of the missing pillars of Islam, is love thy neighbor. I'm supposed to meet with Arnold Schwarzenegger next week. He's going to cut a disc. He's picked a tune that he thinks will endear him to his fans. It's an old Paul Anka tune, Having My Baby. Having my baby, what a beautiful way to say how much you love me. Having mine babies side by side in the hospital. Yeah, it's a baby maker. Be sure to see Conan. Conan's a baby maker. Maybe Arnold will do a remake of Spartacus and call it Spartacus the Baby Maker. And at the end of the movie, after the decisive battle, the women will be lined up on the Appian Way. And Laurence Olivier will say, tell me which one has Spartacus's baby. I have Spartacus. I have Spartacus' baby. I have Spartacus' baby. So I guess we'll dedicate this next tune to Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a baby maker. And Schwarzenegger the baby maker. And to all the girls who have yet to come forward.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, Spirit of America Party radio show, part two. I'm new to Chase Manhattan Bank. What number do I have to press for English?
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho.
So everybody's dropping out of the Republican candidate race for president. They're bailing like... Well, I'm not going to say, like Democrats on a sinking ship. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Huckabee dropped out. That guy, what was his name, Daniels or McDaniels? He dropped out. I'm worried about something. I'll tell you what it is. I'm a big AOL fan. I began with AOL, and... my email address is real easy with AOL. I've got six letters, abutom@AOL. You know, and it's easy to reach. And what I'm concerned about is that they merged, or they acquired in the press. The release was they acquired the Huffington Post. But I got a feeling the Huffington Post acquired them. And now all that propaganda and communist crap that was that keeps the liberals chumming is now going to be force-fed to other AOL members, and the brainwashing will now roll over to AOL. So we knew who our enemies were before, and now we got a new enemy. And I got to start looking for another source equal to or better than AOL, and it's going to break my heart to do it. But when I see the Huffington Post doing the news announcements, I don't like it, especially the one I saw today where they chimed that Roger Ailes calls Sarah Palin stupid. Now, that was bad news, and I sent Roger Ailes a little email saying, if that's true... I told them that I'm depressed over AOL. And I also sent a blog to Sarah Palin, and I told her to hang in there and don't make your move yet. I said, don't fire until you see the whites of their sneakers. And there's three plans in life that I have learned, and I'm going to share them with you, and I'll tell you what they are. There's yours. There's mine. And there's God's. And you never know what trick God has up his sleeve. And if you've ever been painted in a corner with no way out, and you called on the man for help, and all of a sudden there was a window that you didn't see before, you know that the big banger is in business. So Sarah Palin shouldn't give up. And I told her if she needs help, holler. I'll get her elected in 10 minutes. Yep. Our new party platform will be 50 off on the U.S. government. Everything you want to cut in the U.S. government, we'll give you 50 off. You want to cut taxes? take 50 off. We'll have the best going into business sale you ever seen. We were talking before about wedding anniversaries, 50th anniversary, and there was a fella I met there that I know since he was a kid playing with a pink Spalding in a courtyard. And you want to talk about people that have crosses. This guy is taking care of three women who are invalids. He's taking care of three of them on his own. How would you like to have that? How would you like to have that a job? And he still manages to smile and laugh. And I think it's a family trait, because there were other members who have passed on who were just like them, just like him. And I wished him and his wife well. And I said, I hope you get a streak of luck that blows your socks off. And when we first met at this reception, he was joking that every time we sit down and drink together, we both drink Coca-Cola. And he happened to say, we're doing Coke, and two guys' ears perked up and they came over. You know? And, you know, like it was party time. And they said, Coke? Did you say you do Coke? I said, yeah, I do Diet. He does Classic. Yeah. What a bunch of... I often say, if horse manure was the highest high you could get, the racetracks would be full of Americans. They'd be hanging around the barns in the winner's circle. And they'd be at the starting gate hoping to get some of the exhaust. Oh, man. It's really sad. We are a nation of junkies. 1 out of 5. Ain't that great? While we were at that small banquet, a guy came over and lives in Florida. He has two daughters that are getting ready. His twin daughters are getting ready to go into high school in Florida. And he went to the public school that they were going to go to. And he did a walkthrough. And he might have sat in on some classes. And when he came out, he says, no way are my daughters going here. So you know what he opted for? He opted to pay $11,000 per child in a Catholic high school, and he's going to drive them to school 35 miles away. And that's how strong he feels about religious education, but not only religious education, but a moral education and a spirit with a spiritual backup. And that's the problem. Right from wrong is not being taught in public schools. And it's really sad. And I'll tell you another thing that's missing. 1 year of service in the military. It should be mandatory for everybody. 1 year of service. And I'll tell you one thing. You wouldn't have as many flag burners as you have right now. And you'd have people that know that their hand belongs over their heart. And the Star Spangled Banner wouldn't be called the baseball song. And speaking of Star Spangled Banners, I just did, and it's up on YouTube, it's called Flag Burners of Record. 911 Flag Burners of Record. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It'll either be Flag Burners of Record or 911 Flag Burners of Record. And it starts with the Star Spangled Banner. And you see pictures of everybody who got bushwhacked on 911. But it begins with the murder of Robert Stethem, the Navy diver, by the Palestinians, and that was the hijacking of the TWA flight where they beat him to a pulp and then they shot him in the head as they threw him out of the plane on the tarmac. And now there's a ship, Navy ship, named after him, thank God. At least he won't be forgotten. And he won't be forgotten on my Animoto video. He's right in the very beginning with the Star Spangled Banner. And then there's 911, and there's an Arab calendar showing the planned date to attack the New York. The calendar was printed 1 year before the attack, It was printed in Egypt, and it was distributed in Europe. And I think Newsmax provided that calendar. And also, I list the 8 flag burners in the Senate on the Senate Military Intelligence Committee. The chairman at the time was Bob Graham, who I see now is being interviewed on 911. That's Senator Hindsight. And it should be Senator Behindsight, because that's where his head was prior to 911. 40 days before 911, 48 senators voted to burn the flag of the United States. They called it freedom of speech. Yeah. And a bullet in the head is a love tap. And killing a fetus is not killing a kid. 80% of flag burners vote to kill kids. So Bob Graham is there. Jay Rockefeller is there. Carlos the Jekyll Levin. And I listed all 48 senators, including Mitch McConnell and Fred Thompson. There were 8 Republicans and 40 Democrats. Democrats vote party over country. And they're not even Democrats anymore. They're Democamos. They vote party over country almost to a man. If the Democrat Party says, tomorrow we're going to kill everybody over 65, we want the law passed, 90% of the party will vote to kill everybody over 65, because they vote party over country all the time. The Republicans are running around. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what's going on. Orrin Hatch is no match for Chuck Schumer. Orrin Hatch walks into the lion's den and says, hey guys, what's for lunch? So I listed the 8 on the Military Intelligence Committee, and they cried. What did Bush know, and when did he know it? But 40 days before 911, they knew nothing, because they voted to burn the flag of the United States. 8 of them. I think there's 16 on the Intelligence Committee. And they were half the Intelligence Committee. And then there's 40 other senators. And then there's 125, I call them Viet Congress mice. And they voted to burn the flag. And I'll bet you that only 2% of that total, senators and congressmen, ever served their country. And I told you, 80% of flag burners are baby killers. They'll vote no anesthesia for a full-term abortion, because they would have to admit that the child feels pain. And they vote for partial birth abortion. So they're on that video, 911 flag burners of record. And you'll see, you won't believe some of the faces that you see on that. So hang in there, and we're celebrating Memorial Day, and I'm breaking it for Memorial Day, and my new book is coming out. It's the Spirit of America Party book, and I've added to the original book, which was done in 2006, an epilogue, which brings us up to date through Osama bin Laden. So hang in there, and I'll give you a tune. Hang in there, folks.
We got to find one more. What did I look? Oh, the Underdog Party. Is that it? I know what it was. Mem. Well, we'll give you a tune.
This song goes out to all the guys in the Witness Protection Program, the Battered Husbands Division.
Another girl to marry you. A prince may want to make a husband.
Book and radio show. Are you tired of your old partner? Was he easier to live with back in the 50s? He worked harder then. That was before the demo camo gravy train. All at once your partner stopped pulling his share and took half of what you struggled to make. He never shows for work, yet takes a gluttonous cut. He gets all the holidays and all the vacations and breaks. He is never late for work because he does not have to show. He makes his own schedule. When you work overtime, he gets paid. When your business fails, he loses nothing. He loves it when the family has three jobs because he gets a piece of everybody. If you hit the lottery, he gets paid his half first and he never buys a ticket. If you lose in the stock market, he loses nothing. One year, the losses were so great that he changed the rules and disallowed tax write-offs just before tax season. He loves it when the price of gas goes up, his cut gets bigger. That's why he is against drilling. He loves it when the price of cigarettes go up. He will tell you he is only taxing it more for your own good. He can't wait to get a cut on legalized weed. Wait till you see the tax on heroin and crack and meth. Yes, there is a methamphetamine to his tax madness. He has some good investments with your share of your own money. Rehab is a good investment, plus the committees and the hearings and the research. You can see him on C-SPAN every day telling you what he is going to do for you and your own good. He took over the mafia and now runs gambling. He did so bad he can't account for the money and he wiped out OTB. Which used to mean off-track betting, now it stands for out of business. To make it up, he uses cable companies and utility companies to collect more taxes. A little utility tax fine on American flags being put on telephone poles, like in Long Island. A $50 fine for smoking in Mohammed Bloomingdale's New York. Soon to be followed by a salt tax and a prayer in public tax, Christians only. Terrorists are exempt under separation of church and state, or your head from your neck, whichever comes first. So you called in sick yesterday. Don't make a habit of it. Your tax partner has a budget to outrun. Did you get all your permits? Did you pass inspection? Was your commercial vehicle stopped on the bridge to collect the mayor's cut so he can create a bike lane for his supporters? So you called in sick yesterday. Don't make a habit of it. Have you noticed you are losing money weight and your partner is getting fatter? Do you feel your family doesn't qualify for communist benefits because you fit a profile, hard-working American? I don't think I like this partner anymore. He gives my money to terror groups. He gives grants to divide the nation. He throws grandma off of a cliff and blames Paul Ryan. He buys elections with my money. Just like the mob, he shakes down businesses for champagne contributions or suffer a purge. There is no difference between a tax junkie and the Don in the white suit and the Godfather opening the poor man's register and saying, I just want to wet my beak a little. Well, Pelican Face, this time you have gone too far. You have given America a tax, Jones. Now we have to go cold turkey. Welcome to Operation Half. Next year's budget, half. Compliments of the underdog party, the silenced majority. The Tea Party must double in size in 90 days and then double again in 180 days. No more terms for termites. Why waste pay to send a senator to Washington who votes to burn your flag? Why pay to send a congressmouse to Washington who votes to kill your kids? Why allow any campaign contribution for any candidate to exceed $1? Why allow Gucci-shoed lobbyists to buy favors and deny your vote? Joe the Plumber or GE, the campaign contribution must be the same, $1. Then see how long Jeffrey Immelt sits at the Tsar's banquet table. When GE donates to Obama, is that Chinese money? No lobbyist and nowhere near a bribe-weak politician. One term of office keeps everybody clean. Caesar's wife must be above suspicion, not a consultant to the aircraft industry that is not allowed to grow in South Carolina. When a hard-working American gets up at 4 a.m. to go to work, he doesn't want his efforts to be bartered in offices in D.C. by politicians who are up to no good. Operation Half is the answer. Everybody goes on the diet. Let's concentrate on the builders, not on political tornadoes. Let's take care of the second greatest generation while we are still free for the moment. More tea, anybody?
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind which one you are. I'd like to wake up and devil or angel, yeah, whichever you are, I miss you, I miss you. Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I'll go out of my mind. Devil or angel, I need you, I need you, I need you. You look like an angel, your smile is divine. But you keep me guessing, will you ever be mine? Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I made up my mind. Devil or angel, dear, whichever you are, I love you, I love you.
That's an early 50s tune, when people were kind to one another. Back in the 50s, everything was made in USA. The babies were made here. We made our own babies. Ridiculous, man, ridiculous. Everything was made in USA. Everybody made their money in the USA. Today, all your big corporations are only invested 50% in the USA because they don't trust this government. So they're spreading their money around out of town, out of the country. And I don't blame them. What's really sad is that in my time, everybody pitched in to help everybody grow. if you went to work for a corporation, that corporation was family, and you were part of the family, and they helped you develop, and they helped you move up the ladder. I can remember going to trade shows where veteran guys about to retire were romancing their lifelong customers, and after they sold the customer everything that they could possibly could, they would turn the customer over to me and say, "Have you met Tom? He's got this product or that product," and they would share in opportunities. Today, nobody shares in opportunities. Today, if you got an idea, somebody steals it from you. And that's why you've got more lawyers than people. That's why you've got patent offices, and you've got royalty watches. If you play a tune that you got off the internet, you could be arrested and thrown in jail. Everybody is coveting thy neighbor's goods, especially the lawyers. So when people went to work, they were part of the corporation, and they just check with the grandmas and the aunts, and they'll tell you. They started with IBM, and they bought a few shares of stock, and they were in on a stock plan, and today they're worth $2 million, $3 million. Okay? And they started out with pennies. But they were steady earners and steady investors. Now today you don't know what to do. You go to work for somebody, it's a five-year plan. You got to be out of there in 5 years. They don't want to see you. Somebody just sent me this, and I'll just read it to you. I asked a friend about somebody who's a friend of a friend. And I said, how does he do? Is he still working at Toys R Us? And the answer came back, after 20-plus years, Toys R Us sold John's department to an offshore company from India. And one day he went to work and they just said, "You're off the project." It took him weeks to recover. He lost 25 pounds, which he could ill afford. It was so unexpected. He has been looking for work since and is beginning to get some interviews through friends. He's over 60 now, so with all the young people looking for work, it has made it harder for John. How's that? And this is the American tradition. Now, you lost your country, you're never getting it back. The only way you can get it back is you got to go American. And people are not interested in going American. We got 1% of the country defends it, and everybody else goes along for the free ride. And nitpicking seems to be a new art. Whining and nitpicking. But anyway, let me check the files and see what else we're going to talk about. You know the Obama administration is covering up the deaths in combat of Americans. They're calling them NATO troops. When they tell you that NATO was attacking Libya, what they're not telling you is 60% of NATO is American troops. And it's probably more than that. There are a couple of liberal, I'm not even calling them liberal anymore, I call them demo commos. I'm a liberal. I like a liberal amount of salt on my fries. These people are not liberal. These people are demo commos. There's a couple of buzzwords you should get used to. One, dead NATO troops. Dead NATO troops in the communist media means dead Americans. Trouble spots. Trouble spots in the commo media means war zone. Confrontational in the media means they're trying to kill me. Thrown under the bus. That's another demo commo buzzword. That's stabbed in the back. Now we have an update from the ambassador of Bahrain. His Majesty King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa received at Safria Palace U.S. Deputy Secretary of State James Steinberg and his accompanying delegation, who conveyed to him a message from President Barack Hussein Obama on the strong and hysterical relations between the two countries. His Majesty the King reviewed with Mr. Steinberg solid bilateral relations and ways in which they might be further strengthened. And Mr. Steinberg relayed to him the promise of Osama bin Laden that we would not throw a Bahrain under the bus, but rather we would throw them under an aircraft carrier, which would have to leave port as soon as Iran orders it. By the way, the ambassador to the Kingdom of Bahrain is Huda Ezra Nanu. And Huda Ezra Nanu is Jewish. How's that? She's probably the first Jewish ambassador from an Arab state. So Bahrain is very progressive, or as I like to say, conservative. Here's a thought for today. If a mother murders her child, and the child is 2 years old, and her lawyer dreams up a defense that is unbelievable, and that lawyer, knowing that that is not the real case, but it is a winner in the trial if they use this defense, is that lawyer an accomplice to murder? And if that woman is convicted of murder and sentenced to death, should that lawyer get the same death sentence? You think about that. That girl that was murdered was 2 years old. Think about this. If that girl had been 8 months old, her mother could have murdered her and gotten a grant from the government. I see Obama's car got stuck in on a hump in Dublin. And here when the headline just read it wrong. It says, the hump gets stuck. It's really sad, you know, that they lie like that. The car didn't get stuck on a hump. The car ran out of gas. The limo ran out of gas. And the Secret Service had to push it into a bicycle lane. And they called for the backup, the Obama mobile, which runs on wind power, mostly hot air. And it has a 100-mile extension cord if they want to go electric. Yeah, we better start drilling real soon, or we're all going to be up the fat lady's burka. The price of gas has got to come back down to 21 cents a gallon. That's my goal, 21 cents a gallon. Bartender, a champagne and a giraffe of wine. Don't forget to fly your flag before somebody orders you not to. And remember the vets, and remember Memorial Day. It is a memorial.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.